If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. I am your host, Movie Mike, and today I want to see if you can name the obscure movie quote. Movie quotes are a passion of mine. I pulled some of my favorite, most obscure movie quotes. We're going to test your movie knowledge to the extreme today. We're going to separate the casual movie fan from the straight-on cinephile. In the movie review, we'll be talking about the new Kristen Stewart romantic thriller, Love Lies Bleeding. And in the trailer park, the 80s are having a moment, and we have our first look at Beetlejuice 2. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being subscribed. Shout out to the Monday Morning Movie Crew. And now, let's talk movies.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
Movie quotes feel like they are fewer and farther between, and that makes me sad. I love me a good movie quote. I think a couple of contributions to that is one that movies and media in general right now don't really have a whole lot of rewatchability. Things come out, we watch them, we love them, and then they go away. And very few times do I go back and rewatch things that are newer. When I go back and rewatch old movies or old TV shows, it happens to be things that I grew up with. You get that feeling of nostalgia. And with Netflix putting out new things every single day, every single week, it's hard for me in particular, who watches a whole lot of new movies, but to go back and rewatch things, because I always feel like I need to be watching something new so I can talk about it here on the podcast, let you know whether it's good or not. But there's just this undying pressure to watch something new with all the things that just get released every single week. It's hard to keep up. And I think the way you really attach yourself to a movie quote is that you would rewatch movies again and again. And back in the day when you renting it, which we don't do anymore unless you do it digitally, rewatching it on VHS or DVD. And through all those rewatches is where you build up those movie quotes and they really become a thing. So I think with the amount of things we have to watch right now, it is harder for individual lines to really stick out. And the other thing, I feel like in a lot of movies, at least in Hollywood blockbuster movies, the writing has really, really taken a step back. And there's been less of a focus on creating memorable dialogue to the point that whenever a movie does have really good dialogue, I feel the need to highlight it every single time. Because when you do see or hear that, it is so impactful and so out of the norm right now. And with less creative dialogue, that means that movie quotes are going to suffer. So my challenge for everybody making movies right now is make more memorable dialogue so we can have new movie quotes. Because you're going to see from this list I put together, a lot of it is stuff that I grew up with. Most recent is maybe in the last 10 years. But we need some new movie quotes to add to this list. And in this episode specifically, I wanted to do a game to see if you can guess the obscure movie quote, because I think if you listen to this podcast, you probably know all the big ones, the ones that get overused, the ones that maybe could be considered cliche or overrated just because everybody knows them. But the ones I wanted to focus on are these really obscure words, lines, and quotes from movies that have stuck with me over the years. So this is going to be the ultimate test of how big of a movie fan are you. I will play you a movie quote, give you the year this movie came out, and see if you can figure it out. I tried to pull from all different types of genres, but here's the thing. When it comes to movie quotes, so many of them come from comedies because it goes back to that type of dialogue. For some reason, it is comedies that have the most memorable dialogue. So I would also lump in romantic comedies to that. But it just seems like as a whole, that genre just dominates movie quotes because the script in a comedy is so crucial to having a good movie. So again, I'm going to play you the quote, see if you can figure it out. I'll give you the year, and these will progressively get harder as we go along. So if you think the first one is too easy because it's not that obscure, we'll just wait until we get all the way down to number 15. So to kick it off, here is the first obscure movie quote. Name the movie.
And big old fat rain.
That one should be pretty easy. Character has a really distinct voice. The year is 1994. And again, here is the movie quote.
And big old fat rain.
This is not the biggest quote from this movie, but the one I find to be one of the most memorable obscure movie quotes. And the answer is Forrest Gump. I just love that scene of him going through all of the different types of rain. And that one always just stuck out to me. Just big old fat rain. Obviously, I think the most overrated movie quote in this movie is "Life is like a box of chocolates." That is probably the first movie quote I learned ever. I think even before I watched Forrest Gump, I knew that quote. To the point that I saw it in the movie, I was like, oh, that is what that is from. But there are so many great, really obscure movie quotes in Forrest Gump. That one just happens to be my favorite. So again, starting off easy. Here we go. Here is the second obscure movie quote.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Also from 1994. Can you name that movie? Here's that obscure movie quote again.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
There's a famous story behind this quote. This actor is known for improvising lines, and in this scene specifically, there are two other people he is interacting with that are actually not actors at all. They weren't even paid for their role because they didn't have any speaking lines, which if you watch a movie and notice there are extras that don't say anything, and it feels weird at times because you have these two, maybe three main characters talking, having a conversation. And there are other people that if you were in a normal situation would definitely have something to say or react to what is going on. That is because if an extra speaks a line, that person has to be paid. They don't always have to be credited in the movie credits. But if anybody speaks a line in a movie or a TV show, it starts to become a more and more expensive production. So in this case, these two other people who are in this scene didn't make any money. So here's the quote one more time.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And that movie is Dumb and Dumber. That is essentially me in every single social situation I get into. I have nothing to say. I am so socially awkward. My biggest worry every time I am with a group of people is I am going to run out of topics to talk about unless they want to talk about movies. And even if they want to talk about movies, my social anxiety takes over and I feel like I'm talking too much or feel like I'm way too nerdy. So that is me. That is me making conversation. Moving on to obscure movie quote number three. Can you name this movie?
Dude, you are hauling so much ass, dude.
That is a movie quote from 2002, a very unorthodox movie. It is one of my favorites that I just happened to throw on the TV the other day just because I needed to watch something to make me laugh. But here is that movie quote again.
Dude, you are hauling so much ass, dude.
Place your final guesses in now. That movie is from 2002, Jackass the movie, and that is Bam Margera's reaction to Johnny Knoxville flipping a golf cart, almost severely injuring himself. And I think for a period in my life when I watched so much Jackass, I started to speak like all the Jackass crew, and Bam Margera and all of his group of friends from like the CKY crowd were all from Pennsylvania. So Bam would kind of talk like this. And I would always try to emulate that. I wasn't even doing it on purpose. I just watched it so much 24/7, whether it be Jackass, Viva La Bam, CKY, Wild Boys. And my mom would get annoyed with me talking like Bam Margera. And even though he says ass in that clip, it sounds like it says ace. That's what I would always do. Hauling ace. I did see Johnny Knoxville has a new movie coming out. It's a baseball movie. My dream interview on this podcast is Johnny Knoxville. I tried so hard whenever Jackass 4 came out. So you best believe I'm going to start hitting up every contact I have to make that happen. Moving on now to number 4. Can you name this obscure movie quote?
This dick is on fire!
Celebrating its 25th anniversary. I remember laughing so much at this scene whenever I first watched this movie. I'll explain exactly what is happening in this clip and the reason I was laughing so hard. But again, here is that obscure movie quote number 4.
This dick is on fire!
And that movie is South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. It is the scene wherever they dare Kenny to light his fart on fire. And then Kenny is engulfed in flames and they are trying to put him out. And if you are unfamiliar with the show, South Park, you're probably a more refined individual than I am. But in every single episode of that show, Kenny dies in some really weird way, some really brutal way. And in the movie, he goes out by, well, lighting his fart on fire. And then Cartman, who is that voice you heard there, is trying to put out the fire with a stick. And instead of being concerned with his friend Kenny on fire, who is probably going to die, he's instead worried about the stick being on fire.
The stick is on fire!
That is obscure movie quote number 4. Moving on to number 5. Can you name this movie?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I just love the reaction from the actors in this movie. This scene takes place in the opening part. You have some people in a legal hearing, and this is what one person says to the other party. Again, here is that movie quote.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And that movie is from 2005, Wedding Crashers. The 2000s were riddled with great movie quotes, comedies in particular. If I could go back and recreate one decade of movies, it would be 2000s comedies. And speaking of 2000 comedies, this isn't a full-on comedy, it's kind of a dramedy, but here is obscure movie quote number 6.
Can you just hold on for a second? I'm on my hamburger phone.
This movie had so many great, memorable movie quotes. This one was more on the obscure side. But I remember at this time in 2007, this was a really big time for movie quote merchandise. Any movie that came out had to have some t-shirt at Hot Topic with any obscure movie quote because people were eating these up. I think the movie that really started this trend was Napoleon Dynamite, which was kind of an unexpected hit in the early 2000s and did really well on merchandise. And the 2000s were also a time where graphic tees were king. You weren't cool unless you went to JCPenney's or Walmart and got a funny graphic tee with something novel written on it. Now, I'm not gonna lie, it looks a little bit outdated if you're out in 2024 with a graphic tee like this. Hey, if that's your thing, more power to you, but also you're probably stuck in another decade. But again, here is that movie quote.
Can you just hold on for a second? I'm on my hamburger phone.
And that is from 2007, Juno. What a great movie that really holds up, has a fantastic cast, a fantastic soundtrack, and a bunch of killer movie quotes. Moving on now, here is obscure movie quote number 7. Getting out of the comedy genre, we're going into a more serious action movie.
It's like a reward.
Now this quote had a bit of a moment on TikTok where people took that sound and started applying it to their videos showing how they reward themselves. And this was the movie quote that would always play in these videos.
It's like a reward.
And it was so much so that I forgot that it was actually a movie quote until I saw another video of somebody doing the origins of all these TikTok sounds. And then they showed this scene. I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not put that together before? But here is that movie quote one more time.
It's like a reward.
And that movie is from 2012, Django Unchained. So this is a scene towards the beginning of the movie wherever Jamie Foxx's character meets up with Christoph Waltz's character, and he is explaining to him what a bounty is. And he says, well, it's like a reward. That is my favorite thing about the internet, how the most obscure thing can blow up to be such a huge trend. And this movie scene also has one of my favorite uses of food in a movie, which is something that Quentin Tarantino is famous for. He deserves a reward for how good he made that beer look that they were drinking, the way they sliced the foam off the top. That is your reward, my friends. Here we go now. How you doing? We're almost halfway through the game. Here is obscure movie quote number 8.
Keep it up.
Ooh, that's a quick one. Can you guess that one? Can you make out the actor? Here it goes again.
Keep it up.
You know what? I'm going to give you a couple more movie quotes from this movie because it is one of my favorites. Here's another obscure movie quote from the same movie.
Told you ain't got no agua.
I ain't got no agua. There's this one again.
Told you ain't got no agua.
And finally, here's one more movie quote from the same movie just because these are all so obscure.
You already asked me that.
Can you name that movie from 2007? Went on to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. It's one of my at least top 15 movies of all time, maybe top 20. That movie is No Country for Old Men. Those first two are from the movie's opening where Josh Brolin's character stumbles upon this scene that was a shootout, a deal gone wrong. That's where this one first comes from.
You ain't got no agua.
He sees a guy that has been shot, is really just barely hanging on to life and is asking for water. Tells him, I ain't got no agua. And then he goes home to talk to his wife. And then they have that funny interaction, which I guess is how they decided to portray the way Texans flirt.
Keep it up.
And then the other obscure movie quote from that movie is one of the best, just simple villain scenes of all time with Javier Bardem's character, Anton Chigurh, having this really sinister interaction with the store clerk. Oh man, such a good movie all the way around. But that was number 8. And now, here we go. Number 9, can you name this obscure movie quote?
Out of Pepe!
This is a tough one. I'll give you a couple clues here. The year is 1999. The person saying this movie quote is no longer alive. It was one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. Just so naturally funny. He also had a major TV show that I feel is so underrated. And I wish was on a streaming service now so I could go watch some of these episodes. An actor who was gone way too soon. But in this movie, he actually wasn't one of the main characters. He was just a supporting cast member. But here is that movie quote again.
Out of Pepe!
Can you name that obscure movie quote? I'll give you a couple more seconds. I will tell you, the actor is Bernie Mac. And the answer is Life from 1999 with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, how they get wrongfully accused of a murder and have to go to prison. This was a movie, I think for the first time I watched it on cable, and it probably took me a couple of times to actually watch this entire movie because I would always just catch it at different times. So my timeline of this movie was a little bit shifted around because I think for the longest time, I had never seen it from the very beginning because I would either catch it at the end, catch it in the middle. And it wasn't until I got Netflix, the first version of Netflix, wherever you could rent DVDs and they would just mail them to your house. This was one of the first movies I wanted to rent because I told myself, I need to see this movie from the beginning. A hilarious movie. It's not a full-on comedy, but with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, how could it not be hilarious? And with Bernie Mac. Moving on now to number 10. Here is this obscure movie quote. It's really quick.
No, I'm a process server.
Now, the actual obscure movie quote here is one that I say all the time. It is the first voice you hear, the one who says, shine shoes. Here it is again.
No, I'm a process server.
This movie from 2008 is arguably one of the last great comedies of the 2000s. If it wouldn't have been for The Hangover coming out in 2009, this one would have been a strong closeout to the decade, and it mixes comedy with action, with stoner humor. Here's that movie quote again. Can you name it?
No, I'm a process server.
That is James Franco saying that quote. The other voice you hear is Seth Rogen. The movie is Pineapple Express. If there was one comedy from the 2000s that I hope would get a sequel, it would honestly be this one. And as good as it is on its own, and as many remakes as we have right now, I just feel like James Franco hasn't done a movie, at least in the comedy space, that I've loved in a while. And Seth Rogen, I feel like he wouldn't be too above doing another Pineapple Express. I feel like we'd have a better chance of getting a sequel to this than Superbad. And then if you throw Danny McBride back in there, I think it would be hilarious. All right, we have 5 left. Hopefully, you're doing pretty good. This is a really hard game, but we're also learning here if you haven't been nailing some of these. So here is the next obscure movie quote.
It's Nacho Butt.
This is another movie from 1994. I'll give you a couple hints here. It is my favorite baseball movie of all time, and a movie that's so hard to find a place to watch it because I rewatched it for the very first time earlier this year because I realized that it was streaming on a random cable channel. So I couldn't even watch it on a legit streaming service. Just because I have Hulu plus live TV, I was able to watch this movie. But here is that movie quote again.
It's Nacho Butt.
That movie is a live action Disney movie. It is Angels in the Outfield. I thought this scene was so hilarious the first time I watched it, but granted, I was like 5 years old. It's also one of my mom's favorite scenes. This scene still makes her laugh. It is a movie we watched together and one I would love to rewatch with her. But if you haven't seen it or maybe forgot about Angels in the Outfield, it's about this kid who starts seeing, well, angels in the outfield, and he is the only kid who can see them. So then the manager of the team starts seeing him as a good luck charm and has him come to every single home game and lets him know what player has an angel with him so then they could put that player in and he crushes in the game. But this was at the time in the movie whenever they first start going to games and the manager puts somebody in charge of making sure the kids are happy with drinks, with merch. And one of them asked for nachos, set him down in the seat next to him. So when that guy came back to his seat, sat down right in the nachos. Classic 90s humor for you. All right, we're moving on now. Four movie quotes remain. Here is movie quote number 12.
A dollar is an envelope.
Man, what the hell are you doing, man?
So it is that first line you hear in that quote. A dollar in some envelopes. Can you name that obscure movie quote?
A dollar in some envelopes.
Man, what the hell are you doing, man?
This movie is famous for one of the biggest comedy movie quotes of the 90s, but it isn't this one. This is the movie that I think my family as a whole would quote the most. It's also a movie that if you are a fan of this, I'm instantly friends with you. There are a couple people that come to mind that one of our favorite things to do together was just quote every single line from this movie because there are so many obscure movie quotes. So if you are a quoter of this movie, you are instantly one of my friends. If MySpace were still a thing, I'd put you right on my top eight. Again, here is the obscure movie quote number 12.
A dollar is an envelope.
Man, what the hell are you doing, man?
That is a movie from 1995 starring Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. You hear him a little bit in the second part of that quote. But it is Friday. This is one of the best scenes in the movie whenever they go and get Smokey's mom some cigarettes at the convenience store. And Ezel, who is arguably one of the best side comedic characters of the 90s, is just trying to get somebody to buy him a 40. And then he fakes a fall in the convenience store to try and get some money out of the store. And the thing that nobody addresses in the movie is he actually succeeds in his plan because he walks out with the 40. My favorite part in this scene, though, is whenever Ice Cube and Chris Tucker are driving away and his car backfires and it sounds like a gunshot and you just see Ezel flinch and then just take off running. What a nice touch. I wonder if that was improvised or not. All right, last three. Here is obscure movie quote number 13. Again, we are getting more and more obscure here. This movie quote is only two words.
One rib.
This is one that I misremembered this full quote. I have been saying this quote wrong for years now because I thought this quote was longer. I originally thought the quote was, how much for one rib? But when I went to pull the audio for this, I realized, oh, he doesn't really say that at all. Here's that quote again.
One rib.
That movie is from 1988. I'll go ahead and tell you who the actor is in that clip because I think it's so hard. You still probably wouldn't get it unless you watch this movie too. The actor you hear there is also famous comedian Chris Rock in one of his most early roles. This is pretty much his only part in this entire movie. And this entire scene is hilarious, which I'll play you with after I reveal the answer. So you get the full context of what is going on here. But here is that movie quote again.
One rib.
From 1988, that is the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. And I want to share with you this entire scene because it's so simple, but so well written and so well executed. He goes into this barbecue restaurant and he is a character who is extremely frugal, doesn't want to pay for an entire rack of ribs. So he's trying to talk them down to just selling him one rib.
May I help you, sir?
How much for an order of ribs?
$2.50.
$2.50? How many ribs do I get with that?
About five.
Five? So I guess that's about 50 cents a rib, huh?
Yeah, about.
Okay, let me get one.
One order.
One order of ribs.
No. One rib.
One rib.
I sure am hungry.
Make that one rib to go.
One rib?
One rib. Pay me and get the hell out of my store.
You got change for 100?
So that's the joke. He actually has a lot of money, but was still trying to talk him down. I love that movie. That is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, from 1988. Our final two movie quotes. How you doing? You hanging in there? I'll let you know how you ranked depending on how many you got. So hopefully you've been keeping your score or where you fall in the category of movie fan. Here is obscure movie quote number 14.
I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
Also, peak 2000s. This movie came out in 2006. It is about a character who moves in with another family member, and he works at a place where they make video games. Here is that obscure movie quote again.
I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
That is Grandma's Boy from 2006. I could have picked so many movie quotes from that movie just because they're all so random. That is from one of the side characters, Dante. I could have even picked the part he said before that. That's right, monkey. Play my head. All right, we have made it to the final movie quote in the game. Can you name this obscure movie quote?
We are not a disgusting punk rock group.
The movie is from 1997, a biopic of one of the most famous Texan musicians of all time. I think the reason I love that movie quote so much, because I grew up playing in a punk rock band and always just thought that was funny of how angry this character was. And he thought that being compared to a punk rock group was so vile and disgusting, which in reality, hey, punk rock bands are just like any other band. I've never destroyed a hotel room in my life. Looks like fun, but looks expensive too. So I may be punk rock, but I'm also frugal and practical. But again, here is that obscure movie quote from 1997.
We are not a disgusting punk rock group!
And that is the one and only Edward James Olmos, and that is Selena. And Jennifer Lopez's biggest movie role of all time. By the way, I was just watching her documentary about the movie she made on Amazon, and the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking, is this a parody of something? Is this like Spinal Tap? But I think she was serious. I couldn't bring myself to watch the actual movie, but watching the documentary was just like watching somebody make a really, really bad decision and thinking, why did nobody stop her? So that is the game. Now let's break it down to see where you fell as far as what level of movie fan you are. If you got 1 to 3 of those correct, well, sadly, you're in the category of you need to watch some more movies. That's okay. Those are really obscure. But don't we all need to watch more movies? If you got 4 to 6 correct, you are the average movie watcher. You're right there in the middle of the pack. You actually did a pretty good job. If you got 7 to 11 correct, congratulations, you are a movie buff. You really know your movies and can hold your own in discussion. If you're in like a party setting where everybody was talking about movies, you'd be fine. You'd be crushing it. But if you got 12 to 15 correct, you are elite. You are a certified cinephile. You could probably host this podcast yourself because you know it all. So congratulations if you got more than 12. I also asked this question on social media. So I pulled some of my favorite responses to the question, what is your favorite obscure movie quote? Cindy Flores on Facebook said this one. She said the accent alone cracks her up.
He's in it for the money, not the science.
Oh, that is peak obscure movie quote right there. Twister is loaded full of them. I mean, I could quote that movie all day long. I didn't put him in the game because I feel like, oh, everybody would think, oh, he's going to put Twister in there. And I didn't. But thank you, Cindy, for sharing that one. One of my other favorite ones is when they're driving and he's like, hello, this is curse word. Yeah, so many in that movie. Thank you, Cindy, for sharing yours. Sean on Facebook said, on a really hot day last summer, I busted out this movie quote in a full of Gen Z. None of them had even heard of this movie. Here's the movie quote.
Kind of hot in these rhinos.
That is Ace Ventura Part 2, which I actually watched these movies out of order as a kid, and I always thought this one was Part 1 and the other one was Part 2. But man, I guess we are to that point now. And I guess when you break it down, a movie from the 90s now is probably what a movie from the 70s was like to me growing up. And those movies seem so, so old. Even movies to the 80s felt like, oh, that's some old period piece. But now, compared to where we are now in 2024, that would be comparable to a movie from the 2000s. So a movie like Mean Girls is now what 16 Candles was to those of us who grew up in the 90s. That is weird. That doesn't make me feel good. So I'm going to move on to another comment. Adrienne Wade on Facebook said this was her favorite obscure movie quote.
You just put your pickle on everybody's plate, college boy, and leave the hard stuff to me.
That is so obscure from Dirty Dancing that I wasn't quite familiar with that one until I looked it up. Steph on Twitter said this is her favorite obscure movie quote.
I'm right on top of that, Rose.
That is from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. That is also peak obscure movie quote. And then I also texted my brother Rudy, who is probably the real reason I am so into movies, because we would watch so many of these together. And oftentimes when I reference watching movies from my childhood, it's because I watched them with him. And we are both huge fans of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Part 1 and Part 2 specifically from the 90s. Although Part 3 has its moments, and that is the obscure movie quote he picked. This was his favorite.
Hello, Mustard?
Which, Part 3 is so hard to rewatch. I think last year I did my annual Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rewatch, and by the time I got to Part 3, there are some funny quotes in that movie. A lot of the things I say now, I realize come from that movie. Like, even quotes like this one.
How did you get in April's pants?
How did you get in April's pants? Like, that is funny. But as a whole, the story in that movie just doesn't age quite well. It's always because in Part 3, they have to go back in time for some reason. And then finally, Robert on Twitter said that this quote from Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter is his favorite obscure movie quote.
I didn't know you could read.
And that is the list. Thank you for listening. Thank you for playing along. We'll come back and talk about Love Lies Bleeding. And then in the trailer park, we'll get a look at the new Beetlejuice.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Let's get into it now. A spoiler-free movie review of Love Lies Bleeding starring Kristen Stewart. It's an A24 film. I saw this trailer back when I went to go watch The Iron Claw in theaters. And I remember right after the trailer finished, I poked Kelsey and said, I want to go see that movie. And she said, I do not. So I went to go watch this movie alone. Kristen Stewart plays this reclusive gym manager who falls in love with this bodybuilder who has been hitchhiking across the country. Her dream is to go to Vegas to this bodybuilder competition, and Kristen Stewart helps her out by giving her a free gym membership and then hooking her up with a bunch of steroids in order to prepare for the competition. And then both of their lives kind of clash together when the bodybuilder gets a job with her dad. She gets a job as a waitress at her dad's gun range, which I found a little bit odd, but I guess since the movie is set in 1989, they used to have restaurants at shooting ranges. and her dad is involved in some pretty shady criminal activity. And that's really all I can say about the family and the criminal activity, because it's so essential to the plot. And this movie has a lot of ups and downs surrounding their interactions with her dad and all the things with her family. It's basically a really toxic relationship, which I think Kristen Stewart plays so well. She has become, I don't want to call her one of my guilty pleasure actors, but she is somebody that I am always just curious about her work. And I know some people have maybe an issue with her because how she is in interviews and maybe how she is in real life, which we really don't know a whole lot about that, about her personal life. But for me, that is what I find the most appealing about her. I think for a period in my life, I was really attracted to girls who would probably ash their cigarette out of my face, treat me really horribly, stand me up, be really awful to me, but I would come crawling back to. That is the vibe I get from Kristen Stewart. She's almost to the point that even though I'm a huge fan of her films, I would probably never want to meet her in person just because I think it would ruin my perception of her. Even though if she was awful to me in real life, I'd be like, that's pretty on brand. I would be okay with it. But she plays that type of character so well. So maybe it is coming from a well inside of her that it's easy for her to tap into. But seeing her in a toxic relationship with a character who has a bad history with her father, is struggling through life. She uses her classic K-Stew mannerisms, I don't know. As soon as she starts doing that, I'm all in. And then her and Katie O'Brien, who plays the bodybuilder, have fantastic chemistry. They fall in love very early on in the film and go through all these ups and downs in their relationship. And man, it is quite the ride to go on. You also have Ed Harris as the dad, who I'm not the biggest Ed Harris fan, but I actually thought he did a really good job in this movie playing a jerk. And speaking of jerks, James Franco's brother, Dave Franco, is in this movie, who plays Kristen Stewart's sister's husband, who is another really big jerk. And her sister is played by Jenna Malone. And Jenna and Kristen look so much like they could be real life sisters. I thought that was a fantastic casting. I feel like this is the most natural Kristen Stewart has been in a role. I love that this movie takes place in the 80s. Everything surrounding the aesthetic of this movie was really selling me. From the soundtrack and the score, which is a very 80s retro synth design. The thing I was surprised about is the dedication to smoking cigarettes in a movie, which for the better half of the last 10 years has become non-existent. Probably for the better. If you put cigarettes in movies, a kid watches a movie and thinks, oh, that looks cool. Now I want to go smoke. Smoking is awful for you. I don't think if you watch this movie, you're going to go run out and buy a cigarette. But I found it interesting how much of the plot early on was focused on smoking cigarettes. And for a movie to dedicate so much time and emphasis on showing people smoking cigarettes, I kind of forgot that that was a thing. So not essentially that I love the fact that they were smoking all the time, but just to have that sense of realism again and showing the gritty side of these characters, I really appreciated the commitment to that. I think the biggest selling point of this movie is the fact that it doesn't really take place in reality. There are some supernatural elements that take this movie at times into a weird place. And being a crime, thriller, romance movie, I don't really feel like it reinvented the genre or did something so groundbreaking, but it took a lot of risks. Sometimes they worked out. Sometimes I found myself thinking, why did they do that? Sometimes it felt a little bit too out of pocket, but I love the fact that it took those risks. But I think if you are looking for a more realistic crime movie, you may see some elements in this movie and be a little bit turned off by, because I think to some, they'll be hit or miss. So again, it does go a little bit off the rails sometimes, but I think that is playing into the chaotic nature of this movie, the messiness of these characters and their toxic relationship. So in order to have some really big highs in the movie, you have to go really low and you have to get really weird. And that is what this movie does. It is essentially a crime fairy tale. So as soon as you realize that and can kind of pull yourself out and realize that this movie doesn't take place in reality, then you can really fully enjoy this movie. So I almost wish it would have really committed a little bit harder to some of those supernatural elements, because at times it is so realistic, but then goes very fantasy, and I'm trying to find that line of where does my brain need to be to interpret the story here. And the movie does a really good job at keeping the pacing moving along. It keeps throwing things at you throughout the entire movie. It really felt like a crime thriller from the 90s where this happens, therefore this happens. Now, how are we going to get into this? All right, we'll do this, and therefore this happens. It continues to move the story along. And for a movie that's right under an hour, 40 minutes, it really needed to do that. Maybe one or two times it dips just a little bit. And I started thinking to myself, all right, they're going to lose me here. But then, bam, they win me back. It hits you with more moments and gets you excited again and carries you to the finish line in a very satisfying way. They shot this movie in New Mexico, which I think fit the story perfectly. But it really goes back to the chemistry between Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien. And that 80s retro vibe. I really love the wardrobe in this movie. It didn't go into the full glam 80s. It's more realistic. You have Kristen Stewart in these vintage tees, faded jeans, old worn out sneakers. Katie O'Brien is in the classic 80s workout gear. So there was a lot of attention to detail to make this film feel like 1989. I will say the guys look a little bit ridiculous in this movie. Dave Franco and Ed Harris have some ridiculous haircuts. And sometimes I found that taking me a little bit out of the movie because I realized, oh man, they spent so much time on that hair and it looks kind of goofy. And as much as I tried to suspend myself from realizing that this movie didn't really take place in reality, there were some things in the plot that just didn't make sense to me. I don't want to give a whole lot away, but a lot of illegal activity happens throughout the story. And I just found myself thinking, is there nobody else witnessing this? And I know they were kind of playing off the fact that this town was a little bit deserted, not a whole lot of people lived there. But surely somebody would have been witnessing these crimes, and maybe it kind of would have ruined the plot a little bit, but a couple or maybe a few times I found myself thinking, okay, come on, really? Nobody else saw that? But overall, I feel like this movie has the potential to be one of my top 10 favorite movies of the year, pending everything else coming out. And I think it's because I went into it having a little bit of a bias of already being a Kristen Stewart fan, buying into the aesthetic of this movie, it being an A24 film. There were a lot of things going right for me to enjoy this movie. And then it delivered. It made me feel things. It made me angry. Never really made me happy. Overall, you will leave this movie feeling a little bit bummed out. And even though I grew up in the 90s, it felt a little bit nostalgic and familiar, but then took it up on another level to really give itself its own identity. So for Love Lies Bleeding, I give it a strong, I would almost go 4.5 if it were not for a couple of things. I think a 4.5 is a movie that I recommend to everybody, but I could see some of the elements of this movie being off-putting to some, and I feel like a 4.5 is a movie that stays with me for a very long time. A 5 is perfect, but a 4.5 goes on to carry over into my love of movies year after year. I don't think I'll be rushing to rewatch this movie, but definitely think it's worth the in-theater experience, and if you can't do that, a must-watch at home. So I give it a strong 4 out of 5 steroid shots.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
It's time to head down to Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
The 80s are having a bit of a moment in 2024. We've already got Dune. We just got Roadhouse and Ghostbusters in the same weekend. And now we have our first look at the new Beetlejuice movie called Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I love that title. I was calling it Beetlejuice 2, but when I look at the actual official title, it just says Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And it's after the death of Beetlejuice because it says 2024 AD. Interesting. And I think the problem this movie is going to have, and really any reboot that comes out of the 80s, is finding its new audience. Because they have to generate a buzz to get all the people who grew up with these types of movies to want to go see them in theaters. But the way that it's really going to make money and cross over into being a success instead of just a quick cash grab and nostalgia bait is appealing to new audiences, which I think a lot of these movies fail in doing. And I don't want to see that happen with Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, because I think there's some potential there. I think the benefit of remaking a movie like this, and the real reason to remake a movie from the 80s, is back in the day, you didn't have all the special effects and the technology that had maybe more of an elaborate vision that would have greatly benefited for having more expensive visual effects. Now, I am still a huge fan of using practical effects, and I think those movies tend to age better. But with a movie like Dune that was made back in the 80s, if you look at the worm ride scene from the original Dune, it looks pretty terrible. It looks laughable. That was such a grand scene to pull off in the 80s that it just didn't really work then, but is one of the best things about Dune 2 in theaters now. That moment was awesome. So to remake that now makes more sense because you can do things that you couldn't do then. There are other movies, arguably, like Roadhouse, which I will review here later at some point on the podcast, is, are you really remaking that movie for the sake that it needs to be refreshed or reintroduced to audiences, or are you just playing off that familiarity? Now, with the first look at this Beetlejuice trailer, I think it looks a lot better than I was expecting. It also looks like it's really picking up 36 years later, which the first one came out back in 1988. Everybody is back in this one. It's coming out on September 6th. Director Tim Burton is back. In the trailer, we see that Michael Keaton is back as Beetlejuice. Catherine O'Hara is returning. Winona Ryder is going to be in this movie. And it looks like Jenna Ortega is going to play her daughter, who Winona Ryder was 17 years old when the first one came out. Jenna Ortega is 21. So it's kind of cool how their career timelines almost line up. Almost feels like it's really coming full circle because Jenna Ortega, I would say, is the new face of modern horror, with her being Wednesday Addams, also being in the Scream movies. So before I get into more about Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, here's just a little bit of the first trailer, which for the most part is just the song from the movie over all the imagery. But there is one iconic line spoken by Beetlejuice, so here's just a little bit of that.
Me say day, me say day.
The juice is loose.
So what we get in this trailer is Winona Ryder and her daughter, played by Jenna Ortega, going back to the house, that iconic big white creepy looking house. We have them going over the red covered bridge that is also very iconic from the original movie. And even though this movie is set in a fictional town of Winter River, Connecticut, this movie location is actually in Vermont, and you can go see the house and the bridge. But I think for some reason it's closed right now. But I did have a friend go fairly recently and took a picture out in front of that bridge. So maybe too many people were going. Maybe with the movie coming out, they don't want people flooding this small town. But it is one of those truly iconic filming locations. What we see in this small teaser trailer, them going back there, Jenna Ortega goes up into the attic and pulls a sheet off of that small little model town that Beetlejuice lives in. Winona Ryder's character goes up there as well. And then we see Michael Keaton reemerge as Beetlejuice. And I will have to say, looks fantastic coming back in the costume and in the makeup. The only problem I had and the worry I had was I had the same feeling last year with The Flash whenever he returned as the 1989 Batman. In that trailer, he also gave the iconic Batman line, also made a reference to, you want to get nuts? And essentially, it is him again coming back as an iconic character in the suit and saying another memorable line. So I worry about that. Maybe Michael Keaton is at a point in his career where he thinks it's fun to go back and relive some of these roles, also just stacking up the cash and taking the paycheck for coming back and doing a movie like this. But when it comes to Winona Ryder, this woman does not age. She looks exactly like she did in the original movie when she was 17 years old. And she has been consistently great. I love her on Stranger Things and hope to see her come back and really close out that series in the final season of that show. But it's awesome to see her coming back and doing this movie at 52 years old. So I do love that the look of this movie looks really close to the original. I think where it's going to advance is with some of the special effects, which were really campy in the original Beetlejuice movie. And a lot of that was from director Tim Burton's style. I feel like the limitations of the 80s allowed Tim Burton to be a little bit more creative, and he always kind of has like that live action claymation style that I really like. So hopefully they keep a little bit of that in this movie, but I think at this point the style may be a little bit dated to the 80s. So I wonder the line that this is going to walk between keeping some of those original special effects elements from the original to saying, okay, it's 2024. We need to make this movie look a lot more slick. And there's some more cool stylistic things that we can do to give this movie a bit of a facelift. I think where this movie is going to struggle, like I was mentioning earlier, is finding that new audience. If I was Gen Z and saw this trailer, honestly, I don't think it would make me feel anything. I think this initial trailer is for those fans of the original movie who are now probably in their late 30s, 40s, even 50s, depending on when you first discovered Beetlejuice. For me, it was always a movie I enjoyed and would watch around Halloween time, even though it's not a Halloween movie. I just kind of associate it with that time of year. And this one coming out in September, I feel like that is also what they are playing into. But I'm not really a diehard Beetlejuice fan and coming at it from that perspective. So even for me, they really have to win me over a little bit. And honestly, for me, and probably a lot of Gen Z, the real interest we have here is Jenna Ortega in the leading role. I think she is greatly on the rise right now after crushing it as Wednesday, is now really making her name known in movies. So I think Warner Brothers cast her to appeal to those people and introduce Beetlejuice to a new audience. Because I don't think anybody under the age of 21, maybe even older than that, is even going to know what it means to summon Beetlejuice. So I think even the quote that Michael Keaton says in this trailer is lost on a lot of people. And clips like this are lost on a younger audience.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
So maybe this trailer is a little bit of nostalgia bait, but I'm hoping that's not the case for the full story. And it's not them just going back and redoing all the same gags and just lifting the plot from the original movie and doing it again with Jenna Ortega in place of Winona Ryder. But again, this movie is coming out on September 6th, later this year, just in time for spooky season.
And that was this week's edition of Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
That is going to do it for another episode here of the podcast. But before I go, I got to give my listeners shout out of the week. This week, I'm going over to Instagram and it is going to Music Nut Matt, who tagged me in his Instagram story with a picture of his car dashboard listening to last week's episode with my favorite female directors of the 21st century. And Matt wrote, first Monday morning listen in a few weeks, hashtag Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, hashtag Monday Morning Movie Crew. Thanks, Matt. That is quite honestly my favorite thing to see on Mondays. People tagging me in their Instagram story, listening in their car, listening at the gym, or listening at work. So thank you, Matt. And if you listening right now want a listener shout out of the week, that is the easy way to get one. Just tag me in your Instagram story at Mike Destro. You can always find all my socials in the episode notes. And if you are not subscribed to this podcast, do that right now, wherever you're listening to it. And if you want to see individual movie reviews, you can always go over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MikeDestro. And all of those are up there for you. So if you missed an episode and just want to go hear my thoughts on one specific movie, go check that out there. And until next time, go out, watch good movies, and I will talk to you later.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.